The Cat on Bhagavan's Couch by Ella Maylett. The following is taken from the book Typhus, written by Ella Maylett of Switzerland and published in 1951. She sent a copy found in Sri Ramanashramam's library to Swami Vishwanatha with the inscription, "For you, Vishwanatha, so that you may sometimes remember your friend, the daughter of the mountains." Ella Maylett was an early 20th century pioneer among women adventurers, strong, ever curious about the unknown, and fascinated with travel. She sailed overseas and journeyed with caravans on foot and seated on animals throughout remote areas of Chinese Turkestan, the Caucasus, the Tian Shan Mountains, Russia, Mongolia, Tibet, etc. She realized that the only way for her to make a living was to write about her experiences. During World War II, she remained in India from 1939 to 1944 and resided mostly in Tirunamalai, understanding at last that the ultimate adventure and real journey is to make the inner one to the realization of the self. Typhus appears on the surface to be a frivolous book about Ella's infatuation with Ikkitan, but in the book one finds hints here and there about her inner experience and understanding of all things that she absorbed while living in the presence of Bhagavan Ramana. Ella wrote, "The teaching says, it is for the sake of the self that all things are dear. Though we usually think it is for the sake of the loved object, this cat so alive in me that she has become like part of me, opened my heart where love was dormant. Love being the real self, when my feeling of love becomes uppermost for an extremely short while, there is neither cat nor any limited individuality. I am lost in love impersonal, love which is a state where time has no power." After the war and her return to Switzerland, Ella settled into a villa which she named Achela in one of the highest villages in the Swiss Alps. She would occasionally arrange cultural tour groups to Asia. To her travel companions, she would often say, "Ask yourself unceasingly, who am I?" And through this constant inquiry, you will come to know that you are the light of consciousness. For devotees who are cat lovers and have been uncertain about the sage's opinion of these four-legged denizens of the dark, read on and take heart. Bhagavan's love embraces all, Ella writes. In the neighborhood of the ashram, I was fond of three different walks: the mountain, the lagoon, and especially the grove of Parakuttu, adjoining the garden of the sage, where the sadhus lived in their miniature huts. Every afternoon, loudly and endearingly, the cat insisted on my taking her for an outing, galloping off excitedly and then returning to me. I think she greatly enjoyed our hide-and-seek promenades and her slight fear when we discovered new paths. But honor to whom honor is due, the cat called on the sage. One early morning, I found her near me as I was leaving my sandals by the door before entering the hall. She must have crossed the road behind me and, passing among the tombs of holy men, followed me by the old tank with the many stone steps leading to the water level. I let her do what she wanted. As I greeted the Maharishi by joining hands, my cocksure Typhus jumped on the couch where the sage spends all his time, particularly kind to animals, feeding the squirrels, peacocks and monkeys coming to him, as well as Lakshmi, the oldest cow of the ashram, who was fond of bananas. The surprised Maharishi put his newspaper aside, smiled at the thin kitten and touched her head. I'm sure she would have played with him, because all animals behaved with him as if he belonged to them. But the fuzzy Brahmins sitting near the couch frightened her away with their shawls, though they heard my saying, "This is my faithful companion, back from bathing in the Ganges." From a bold charmer, tail upright and full of good intentions, she became a hateful mass of cringy fur. "Why do you do that?" I asked the man. "Because it will run after the squirrels and kill them." As usual, the Maharishi was not interested in the variance of opinions around him. His concern was to give answers in Tamil and Telugu, seldom in English, to the philosophical questions put to him by visitors, or sometimes to correct the Sanskrit recitation of a devotee. An hour later, when the inmates received their mail from Raja, the postmaster, my share included the first copy of Cruises and Caravans, which I had dedicated to the Maharishi. I then presented that copy to him, feeling suddenly ashamed to have written that story very perfunctorily. That dust cover showed the house of my childhood by our lake, with many racing yachts at their moorings, with sails hoisted. Ella Mellet had represented Switzerland in sailboating in the Olympics when young. She was also a world-class skier. When the long and elegant fingers of the sage framed that beloved baby which had cradled my dreams, I saw that the dreams of those days had led me very slowly to the feet of his all-embracing knowledge. When Vishwanatha, the young sadhu, who was my friend, came in, "Have you seen Ella's book?" the Maharishi said, handing it over to him. The sage seemed pleased when he looked at me directly, but with his impersonal stare, once again I thought that I had never seen a forehead with equal wit, light and refinement.